The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
On his way to the end zone.
I'll tell you what, that was a spectacular play.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
What a play! Off to the races! Touchdown! Oh, he's done it again!
Now here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, Heath, and Ben.
Saturday night, done with the NFL draft. Congratulations to the CBS crew, not me, that was on the video product all weekend long, giving you amazing information. Well done. And thank all of you, our loyal audience, for being there, watching our coverage on HQ, and listening to our podcast and on Twitch and on YouTube and all that. YouTube.com/fantasyfootballtoday, which is, by the way, where you can watch this show, this episode of our podcast. I'm Adam Azer with Jamie Eisenberg and Chris Towers. I suck at intros and outros, so I'm going to just throw it over to Chris, who's got a wonderful stat about running backs picked. Is it in day three or is it in round four?
So it is day three running backs over the last decade. There have been 163 running backs drafted between round four and seven from 2011 through 2020. In their rookie seasons, only five of them had more than 200 rush attempts. Only four in the last 5 years had even 150 carries. So the chances of any day three running back making an impact for fantasy as a rookie are very slim.
Okay, Jamie, does Michael Carter of the New York Jets, one of the first pick, the second pick technically of round four, does he get 150 carries?
I think he does if he's healthy, but that's going to be an 17-game season. But I he's my favorite of the guys drafted today. I don't think that's a big surprise for anybody. Yeah. And he's my third favorite redraft running back for 2021 of the rookies. So I think he's got a shot for sure.
Yeah, if you missed that. So I think Chris feels the same way. You've got Harris, Etienne, and then Carter for the Jets ahead of Javonte Williams for the Broncos, right? Both of you guys?
No, I have Williams ahead of Carter.
Oh, Heath has Carter ahead of Williams. Okay. My bad. All right, we'll get to that in a moment here.
I'm going to trust our guy, Emory Hunt, who loves Michael Carter too.
He does. You know, we just did FFT and 5, so I hope you're listening to that. And I mentioned that Chris Trapasso does a great job for us. After the first round, he does the grades on all the picks. Prisco does the first round grades. So if you look at our draft tracker and you don't want to go into the scouting reports and you just want 2 to 3 sentences basically on a player and what Chris thought of the pick, he does a great job on the draft tracker. Just go to cbsports.com. And what he wrote about Michael Carter, the best running back available. With Carter, Jets are getting someone on the Gio Bernard, James White spectrum. Small, sudden scat back with good receiving ability in the screen game. Nice juice to New York's backfield. I hope he's more than that. I hope he's more than Giovanni Bernard and James White. We don't have an indication right now of how they're going to use him, but they don't have a lead running back really, right? Jamie, what's your read on the Jets?
Well, I mean, this was a good draft for Tevin Coleman because, like you said, he's not the physical presence of what you would typically think a lead running back is. Now, that doesn't mean he can't be Austin Eckler, you know, or that type of guy. I'm not saying he has that type of upside, but, you know, Eckler's not a huge human being. You know,
you're talking about Carter, not Coleman.
I'm talking about Carter.
Yeah.
You know, so but for Tevin Coleman, he's the one that the coaching staff is familiar with. He's the one that, you know, came from San Francisco. So he's going to get probably the first opportunity as a veteran. But we've seen Tevin Coleman enough to know that he has a hard time staying healthy and, you know, doesn't always produce at a high level. So I think, you know, you don't have to necessarily reach for Carter. Carter and Williams are probably going to go in the same range, you know, just based on what you'll read about both of those guys and hear about them this offseason. And who knows what happens to Melvin Gordon, which would obviously change Javonte Williams' status. But that's the three and the four, however you want to split them up. And maybe San Francisco changes something and Trey Sermon becomes, it gets in that conversation also. But there's not a lot to like about the rookie class as a whole, the running back position. You know, we said it going in that it was, you know, a questionable group. The teams that needed running backs avoided it, you know, to a certain extent, the Dolphins and the Falcons. And so, you know, Carter gets a chance. And that's the thing you got to like about the opportunity for him to be successful for fantasy managers.
I'm not sure I love this rookie class for fantasy, period. Like, obviously, I think, you know, there are a couple of potential stud wide receivers and running backs.
No,
I think Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence.
A couple. What? Can we say three? Can we say three wide receivers?
Yeah, I think there's.
But that's going in though.
Right.
But are you like, talking about this year? Or are you talking about landing this year? Or are you talking about
2021? Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't love the landing spots for most of the wide receivers in round two and three. Obviously, I didn't love the landing spots for Bateman and
Tony.
Oh, Tony. I didn't love those. I think they're pretty long shots to be fantasy relevant. So it feels a little underwhelming. And, you know, I do worry that because they're rookies, because last year's rookie class was so good at RB and wide receiver, that, you know, guys could get pushed up. But I do want to go back to, you know, Adam, you said, I hope Michael Carter's more than Giovanni Bernard. I would be thrilled if he had Giovanni Bernard's production from his early career. His first three seasons, he averaged 701 rushing yards and 445 receiving yards. I mean, if he has that kind of receiving game role or something close, maybe he has, you know, 100 fewer receiving yards, but 100 fewer or more rushing yards or something. Like, Giovanni Bernard was an 1,150 yard per season player for his first three seasons. I'd be thrilled with that out of Michael Carter.
Yeah, that would be great. How many carries did he get?
164 in 15 games per year. So 175 per 16.
Better than I remember.
Yeah.
So, okay. If he's rookie version of Gio Bernard, that'd be great. I guess I hear Gio Bernard / James White, I think, pass catcher. We'll see with Michael Carter. And are there any other day three picks, Jamie, that you think are going to have 2021 fantasy value?
Yeah, St. Brown for the Lions. You know, opportunity is there as well. You know, you're just talking about a receiving core that if you see the names on paper, you want to throw up. You know, Tyrell Williams and Brashad Perryman, you know what those guys have been, and they could clearly be successful in a different spot, and hopefully that's the case. But Tyrell has been banged up, you know, the latter part of the last two seasons, and Brashad Perryman had basically a 5-game stretch that's really kind of defined the successful part of his career in Tampa Bay. And so Amon-Ra St. Brown from USC could be their slot receiver right away. You know what Jared Goff has been with the slot receiver in LA. And this is a team that's TJ Hockenson, DeAndre Swift, and those guys. And so St. Brown could, you know, be a significant target getter in an offense that's probably going to be throwing a lot because they're chasing points.
And Tennessee drafted Dez Fitzpatrick shortly before St. Brown. Those two guys were the first wide receivers taken on day three. Dez Fitzpatrick, 6'2", 210 pounds, kind of big in this class. And Detroit getting Amon-Ra St. Brown, as Jamie mentioned, who Jamie said he could play in the slot. He also can play outside. He's versatile in that respect. Not a burner. Ran a 4.5 140, but I think those are two obvious names there because they could get the targets, certainly in Tennessee and Detroit. And that's it. Yeah, look, hate to rain on the parade. Day three picks, as Chris said, it's not just running backs. Day three picks typically don't produce that much as rookies. Typically don't produce that much for fantasy in their careers, but maybe there are some gems here. And I think Miles Gaskin and Mike Davis deserve a long discussion. We'll get to that in a little bit. Here's a quick question for you. Who do you think you're going to take first, Michael Carter or Kyle Pitts? Who goes off the board first, Carter or Pitts?
Man, I want to be like sort of skeptical about Pitts because, you know, he's a rookie tight end and rookie tight ends are almost never good. And, you know, even when you say, well, this guy's different, well, you know, Vernon Davis was just as different as Kyle Pitts when you talk about the physical tools that he had. And he still took 3 years really to become fantasy relevant. But I don't know, in that offense, I've got him as the number 7 tight end right now. and he could easily move up to number six if the Eagles hang on to Zach Ertz. So I think it's probably Carter, but it's very close.
It's Carter for me.
It's Pitts, man. I think I'd rather have Pitts.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's probably going to be the answer for most people, but I would take my chances with Carter just because I think his opportunity is there to be the lead running back for the Jets. You know, I don't know if it's going to be, like I said, north of 200 carries, not likely. 200 touches, potentially, if things really work out well for him. But I just think that he's got the chance as a rookie, because rookie tight ends just don't typically produce very much. And I mean, obviously, I'm going to be very high on Kyle Pitts. I'm excited about him. I know I probably didn't express that the other day when we were talking about it following the first round. But the number seven tight end versus the number 30 running back, essentially. I haven't ranked Michael Carter yet, but typically you're going to take top 30 running backs before you take the second tier of tight ends, at least what you'll see in most typical ADPs.
Okay.
Yeah. I've got Carter 40th in the projections, but looking at it, like, I think I'll probably end up with him around 32.
And I was going to ask you guys for your top five rookie running backs for 2021, but I already know it. It's, well, maybe I don't know number five. Najee Harris, Travis Etienne, Michael Carter, Javonte Williams, and then who's five? Sermon?
Sermon for me. You know, I think you just look at what his chances are in that offense. I mean, obviously Raheem Mostert should be the lead running back right away. You don't know what they're going to do with Jeff Wilson, if he's going to get the chance to be the second guy. But if Sermon can work his way into the rotation, those other two guys have injury risks just based on what they've shown you, certainly in 2020. And so if Sermon gets a chance to prove himself in that San Francisco run system, if he takes off, he'll be a star.
Chris, you have who fifth for you? What am I saying? Who fifth for you? Like remedial English?
I have Chuba Hubbard. Just a lot of the same reasoning as Jamie. I feel like he's likely to be the number two back in Carolina. And, you know, we saw last year, if Christian McCaffrey gets hurt, even a fairly pedestrian talent can look like a really good fantasy player in that offense. I would think he would be, you know, somewhat similar to Mike Davis. Obviously, I don't know. You know, we've never seen Hubbard in the NFL, but, you know, that would be my number five guy. And it's mostly just a kind of lottery ticket. I don't think I would actually draft him.
Yeah, understood. And that's all right. So it's Harris, Etienne, Carter, and Williams, top four for you guys. And Jamie goes Trey Sermon five, and Chris goes Chuba Hubbard fifth for the rookie running backs. Watch the full-length podcast, youtube.com/fantasyfootballtoday. You can see what we look like. And watch on demand on the CBS Sports app and on OTT devices. Go to the CBS Sports app and scroll down until you see the FFT familiar faces. I'm going to make a lot of mistakes today. And I think we're all tired. You guys probably more so than I am. Although I'm like, you know, Chris doesn't have kids. You know, so it's a little unfair. Jamie, what time your kids wake you up, Jamie?
They're usually up around 6:30.
Yeah.
And so I went to bed at like 2 last night, and my 6-year-old had a championship game for T-ball today. So
how'd we do?
We won.
Yay! Woo!
So it was a long morning.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Chris, enjoy your sleep.
Hey, I've got a cat who wakes me up at 6:30 in the morning to feed her.
I used to complain about that too. And then I realized that babies require a lot more attention than cats. Big surprise to me, but it is true, in fact.
Shocking.
Yeah. All right, so how about this? Let's do this. Top six. You're doing a rookie-only draft right now. It is not super flex. Not super flex. Give me your top six picks. Want some time to think about this?
I've got it. I did this on the newsletter last night, and speaking of being tired and making dumb mistakes, I left out Kyle Pitts from that ranking, and that was the top 10.
Oh,
so even
that is
dumber.
Yeah, that's dumb.
You know, sometimes you get sleepy. Yeah, for me, it would be in this order: Ja'Marr Chase, Najee Harris, Travis Etienne, Devontae Smith, Javonte Williams, and Kyle Pitts.
Oh man, I'm so different. Jamie, what about you? What's your top six?
Chase is one, Harris is two, Pitts is three, Smith is four, Etienne is five, Waddle six.
Chris, what was yours again? Chase.
Chase, Harris, Etienne, Smith, Williams, Pitts.
Okay.
And I maybe Pitts over Williams. I don't know.
I went Chase, Smith, Waddle. I went with those three receivers. One, two, three. Harris, Pitts, Etienne.
I just struggle with Waddle. Because they've got veterans in the receiving game already, it feels a little Henry Ruggs-ish to me. I don't think they're the same player. You know, Ruggs was not as productive as Waddle in college, but it just feels like that kind of role where it's going to be, somewhat inconsistent, like four targets a game.
I don't love Waddle as a rookie, but yeah, I think watching his highlights, it's jaw-dropping.
Yeah.
It's hard to think of a receiver. Tyreek Hill comes to mind.
It reminds me of T.Y. Hilton in college, but T.Y. Hilton was playing in the Sun Belt.
Oh, my gosh. What a homer. What a homer.
It's going to really be interesting to see if Waddle gets the opportunity to get a healthy amount of targets and prove himself. Would Devontae Smith have been Devontae Smith?
If Jalen Waddle had stayed healthy last season. Yeah.
So I have their numbers when they both played.
I know, and you said.
Oh, you were on that show? I don't know. I forget which ones you were on.
You did it on the first night of the draft, but Waddle's numbers were better.
Waddle's yards were better. They both had four touchdowns. I think 38 catches for Smith, 25 for Waddle. That's what I like about Waddle. He's not going to catch nearly as many passes as Smith. I don't think he's going to have nearly as many catches, but he's going to be much more yards per catch, big plays. So
you hear the Tyreek Hill comparison all the time.
Exactly. He won't need a ton of targets to be great. Yeah. He's going to be great on yards per target.
It's kind of a weird offense right now, I think, because, obviously Parker and Gesicki, I don't think are, as talented as Waddle and Will Fuller, but Will Fuller obviously last year showed he's really, really good when he's healthy and he actually stayed healthy. Parker, I think the thing that's weird is they're all kind of downfield guys. Parker's not the over the top guy, but he does usually have a pretty deep A-dot. Will Fuller, obviously, super skilled, can make big plays on short plays, but obviously is a killer in the deep game. And even Mike Gesicki, he's at his best running up the seam. So I on the one hand, I could see Waddle just kind of getting lost in the shuffle a little bit. On the other hand, I could see him being kind of the primary underneath guy in that offense with Fuller taking the top off and Gesicki drawing attention in the middle. So, I could go both ways, and he's someone I'll definitely rank higher than I have him projected for.
Yeah. Let me ask you about quarterbacks right now. Okay. It's going to be great. I got to get on Chris for his Trevor Lawrence ranking. Which quarterback has the most upside? Tua, Lawrence, Daniel Jones, 2021 upside, just this year. Who's the best upside pick? Tua, Trevor Lawrence, Daniel Jones.
I feel like you want to say Trevor Lawrence, but I also worry that that's falling for the mystery box versus a boat trap.
Well, those are two sinking boats from last year.
Right, so. They're not like Tua was, he wasn't Trevor Lawrence as a prospect, but if he had been healthy, he was certainly going to be in the discussion with Joe Burrow for the number one overall pick.
What's your answer, my man? What's your answer?
I guess I'll go Tua.
Jamie?
Lawrence by a mile.
Chris, is Lawrence ranked 27th? QB 27.
That's where I have him projected. Let's be clear. Okay. That's where I have him projected. I will rank him higher than that.
Okay.
But that's where the projection is right now.
Yeah. This
26. 26.
Okay. It's exciting. I really want to see what Tua can do, because he was a uber prospect until the injury. Yeah. Absolutely. We'll take a break. We'll come back, talk about a report from Adam Schefter about Deshaun Watson, what Green Bay is saying about Aaron Rodgers, and the veterans, the Miles Gaskins and the Mike Davises of the world. I do want to talk about the Patriots running backs and give you my take on why if one of them can get the job, they could be a big winner this year. We'll be right back on Fantasy Football Today.
What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Taylor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Taylor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Taylor Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Taylor Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Taylor Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Taylor Brands.
Welcome back to the show. So Adam Schefter saying today that there are people in NFL circles who believe that Deshaun Watson will not play this season. Jamie, they drafted Davis Mills in round three. What's your take on the Texans quarterback situation?
I think it was smart to take Davis Mills because, you know, he fell a little bit in the drafts. You know, some people thought he could have been a late first round pick, and they were able to get him on day two with their first selection. So, you know, for what... Let's not forget, prior to all this happening, and maybe this was part of it, knowing that it was coming, that, you know, he wanted to be out of Houston. So even if he does play in 2021, he may not play as a member of the Texans. So at this point, fantasy-wise, I have him outside my top 12, Deshaun Watson. You know, I think you can't go in drafting him as a starter if you're drafting today. So he's probably going to fall for a lot of people. You know, and you'll just have to decide if you want to take the risk before there's any news. But at this point, you have to go with the assumption that he's probably not playing this season based on what has transpired for him this offseason.
If you're drafting today, would you take Brandon Cooks or Ja'Marr Chase?
I still have Cooks ranked probably too high for moving the quarterback, letting the quarterback situation be what it is. So I'd probably say Chase. Oh no, I do have Chase ranked high already. So yes, I would take Chase.
Yeah, I have Cooks five spots ahead of Chase, but obviously that's one where I'm projecting it with Deshaun Watson, so I will rank him lower than his projection.
Gotcha. Green Bay says they're committed to Aaron Rodgers beyond this season. Going to be a bonus pot at some point, so stay tuned. Cincinnati offensive coordinator Brian Callahan says he does not want Joe Mixon to leave the field. I think I'm in love with Joe Mixon. Drafting Joe Mixon anyway.
Does that mean he's going to play defense and special teams?
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's the thing. If you get his field goal points.
They drafted a kicker, though.
Be pretty good.
That's
you
true.
Have to start him as kicker.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Damn it. Yeah, I just feel like he's going to have a massive workload.
I have him as RB7.
Whoa. I don't know if I like him that much.
I've never been a Joe Mixon guy, but it's always been because... You know, he was always this, wow, look at this talent. He's so good. But the role was never there. Now, you know, if the role's there in that offense is better, like, I don't know, it feels like he could be a rocket ship.
Jamie, rocket ship emoji?
He's got the potential. I mean, he's had the potential every year of his career. He just hasn't fulfilled it. So hopefully this is the season. But, I mean, you got to be excited that they let Giovanni Bernard go and they – are once again saying all the right things. And I think, look, if he had stayed healthy last year, he probably would have finished somewhere in the top 10 based on what his volume was.
Yeah.
So you know they're going to give him the work. You know there's the opportunity for there for him to succeed. If Joe Burrow's back at 100%, you know they're not going to see a lot of eight-man boxes if these receivers are good. And T. Higgins showed you that he could be good, and obviously Jamar Chase has the ability to be great. So as long as the offensive line holds up, that you know is the question mark. And for what the statement was about Joe Mixon's workload, you probably would have liked to see Penei Sewell as the pick as opposed to Jamar Chase. But still, you know, Jonah Williams healthy, and I know they addressed the offensive line in round two. So hopefully this offensive line is good and Joe Mixon is better.
Mixon, believe it or not, was 11th per game in PPR, 12th in non-PPR.
He had the one huge
He had five pretty crappy games and one enormous game with 151 rushing yards, 30 receiving yards, three touchdowns against the Jaguars. Other than that, he was really not completely disappointing because he was pretty involved in the passing game, but in PPR at least, but, you know, averaged like 2.5 yards per carry in the other five games. Okay, we're just about done with the news and notes. Atlanta did get a running back. It was after the draft. They signed Javion Hawkins. Denver head coach Vic Fangio said Cortland Sutton's doing well in his rehab, and Urban Meyer talked about how much he really wanted to draft Kadarius Toney. They had the 25th pick. He was heartbroken when Kadarius Toney went 20th overall, and then Urban Meyer pivoted to Travis Etienne. So go Kadarius Toney. Biggest rankings risers. This is something we probably... I don't know how much the veterans were impacted this week, this weekend, but Myles Gaskin and Mike Davis, Jamie, what is your take on this with the Dolphins and Falcons skipping running back in the NFL draft?
It's great for both of them. You know, I mean, I think Gaskin, you thought maybe he has a chance to be okay, knowing the way that he performed last year, the workload that they gave him. But Mike Davis, you know, I think a lot of people looked at the signing of the Falcons. I guess I'll speak for myself that, okay, this is going to be their, at best, 1A, probably their backup and chance to play. And now you're looking at it and saying, okay, if Arthur Smith's system was that good for Derrick Henry, and Derrick Henry is an alien, as we've talked about many a time, then Mike Davis could potentially be a good number two running back for fantasy if he's going to get those touches. So you saw what he was capable of doing last year in Carolina's system as Christian McCaffrey missed 13 games. And he didn't have the same type of success consistently because he kind of petered out a little bit toward the end of the season. But still, you know, he's going to be a guy you draft as a back-end RB2. And Gaskin has top 20 upside now if he's going to be the lead running back for the Dolphins, as it seems.
Yeah, I mean, his role in the passing game, you know, especially, like, he could catch 50 passes. He was on pace for that. Last season, and I think he played 65% of the snaps in all but one game after week three. You know, the first 2 weeks were kind of weird. You know, obviously there were the injuries. Well, but
are you talking about Mike Davis?
Myles Gaskin.
Oh, sorry. My bad.
But I like both. I think both of them are top 24 running backs.
What I noticed about Myles Gaskin was that Savon Ahmed really did pretty much just as well, if not better, as a rusher while Gaskin was out. But Gaskin got a lot of catches and Ahmed didn't. And then they both were there for the Raiders game. And the way I remember it was Ahmed was the starter and got most of the work in the first half, and then he just failed the audition. And then they gave it to Gaskin. Gaskin had a huge play in the second half. It's a really exciting game. And
that was his first game back from COVID, too.
It was his first game back. But I just don't know what the split's going to be. Is Malcolm Brown going to be a bigger headache than we are giving him credit for? You know, is he going to be a bigger part of the offense?
He might.
Omar Kelly tweeted, Miami envisions Malcolm Brown as the team's short yardage and 4-minute offensive back, asked to gain tough yardage and finish out games with physical runs. That's Brian Flores' opinion, not Omar Kelly's. So, I mean, look, coaches say a lot of things at this point in the season, and, you know, not all of them come to fruition. And, you know, if you took what every single head coach said in, you know, on May 1st, every running back would have 300 carries and every wide receiver would catch 90 balls. So obviously, you know, plans are going to change. And I just think Gaskin's a better player than Malcolm Brown. So hopefully, you know, I think the biggest issue is Malcolm Brown's probably going to vulture a decent amount of touchdowns.
Jamie, do you like Gaskin or Davis better right now?
Oh, Gaskin. You know, I think just knowing that they did commit to him, there's, you know, an offensive coordinator change from Chan Gailey, but I still think that, you know, despite what Brian Flores said, you know, Malcolm Brown's going to be one of those guys. You've heard me say this time and time again. A lot of it had to do with Frank Gore. Veteran guys do all the right things. Not that Miles Gaskin's not a veteran, but you know, he's still younger in his career than Malcolm Brown. So I'm sure whatever Brian Flores has seen of Brown, watching him on tape, getting to know him, you know, he probably feels like he's going to be in the right spots when they need him to be in the right spots. But there's not a lot of upside. Gaskin showed you he has upside. And so hopefully that that continues. I think really the Malcolm Brown question comes into play with who's the number two guy for Miami. Is it Brown or is it Achman? You know, so Gaskin missed time last year, you know, for COVID, and I think had an injury situation also. And Achman, as you alluded to, Adam, he was very good stepping in for him in terms of what his workload was. Mm-hmm. So will it be Brown? Will it be Achman? Will it be both? You know, that's the, I think, something you want to keep an eye on if you're going to take a flyer on somebody with a late round pick.
You know, Todd Gurley was
terrible. I would lean Achman at this point.
Todd Gurley was terrible last year, but his first nine games, he got all the work, and he was a top six running back because he scored nine touchdowns. He scored more touchdowns than any running back other than Dalvin Cook. That's rushing and receiving touchdowns in that stretch. And everybody knew he had faced all this easy competition. We have sell high, sell high, sell high. And they went away from him. They just stopped using Todd Gurley.
Yeah.
But if you get a guy who's going to get all the work, doesn't really matter how good you are in some cases, you're going to produce. Mike Davis, I just want to tell you this. His first three games without McCaffrey, he was incredible. He scored 23, 22, and 30 PPR fantasy points. He was on pace for 117 catches. His last nine games without McCaffrey, he scored more than 11 PPR fantasy points only twice. He was on pace for 46 catches. So I just struggle with this. I don't think Mike Davis is bad, but I don't think he's that good. And he's 28. He's 28. Is he better than Gurley was last year?
Yes.
Yeah, but Gurley was so bad that they had to get away from Todd Gurley. So I just don't know what to make of it. I don't see him as a 270 carry guy over 17 games. You know, I don't see him as the number one, no doubt about a feature guy. And there's still plenty of time to add a running back, you know, if somebody gets cut or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, like, remember back to the start of the 2019 season. He was the guy we were, like, screaming for Matt Nagy to be fired because he was giving him carries over David Montgomery, you know, for, like, the first two games. Like, that was how low the collective opinion was about Mike Davis, which is, you know, partially why I do like Chuba Hubbard, just because if he does get a chance, that offense is going to be good for running backs.
Jamie, you want to wrap it up? Final thoughts on Mike Davis?
You know, opportunity is big. You know, chance to have volume is big. He proved he could be a pass catcher last year, which I don't think a lot of people thought he had those type of abilities, you know, to that level. So this is an offense that we're very excited about, rightfully so. You know, quarterback is still very good. Obviously, the weapons on the outside and the tight end now are fantastic. And so Arthur Smith, coming from what he did in Tennessee, all these things you sort of look at and you say, okay, the running back for Atlanta, forget about that as Mike Davis. If, you know, you were to say that it was Christian McCaffrey, you know, all the way down to Frank Gore, you know, if whoever the starter was going to be there, you would say, okay, this guy's got a shot. And so Mike Davis you don't want to overdraft him. You know, he shouldn't be taken in the first probably four rounds. But once you get to round five, and we've talked about this a lot, about how there's going to be a lot of running backs pushed up just because of the position that they play, and you start to look at the names that are going to be available to you, Mike Davis in the same conversation with now Melvin Gordon, with David Johnson, with you know, I'm trying to think of other guys that are going to be in that. Miles Gaskin, you know, those type of guys.
How about Kareem Hunt?
Kareem Hunt, that's another good one.
Who would you take, Hunt or Davis?
I would take Davis. You know, and that's, I think, the decision that you're going to have to make. You know, he's not going to be a guy that you say, oh, I think this is going to be somebody who wins me my fantasy league. But for a guy that, if he stays healthy, can be 17, 18 to 24 by the time the season's done, you'll be okay with that, you know, in that range. He'll be a solid RB2 if he's the guy all season.
Yeah, I mean, I have RB13 and RB25. But the difference between them and the projections is right around 2 fantasy points per game, a little less actually. And so, you know, one of the things that I'll do is probably just wait for that tier and find the guys who drop in that tier and try to get them. And Mike Davis is definitely going to be one of those guys. I think Miles Gaskin's definitely going to be one of those guys. Melvin Gordon was going to be one of those guys before Javonte Williams.
Okay, just giving you a heads up here. Falcons offense, 4 straight seasons, they've been 10th to 16th, somewhere in that range in scoring. So they've been slightly above average team in scoring. They've been very pass heavy. They've rushed for 10 to 13 touchdowns, 4 straight seasons. And they've been bottom 6 in rushing yards, 3 straight seasons. I don't have the running back rushing yards. Teams that have quarterbacks who don't run are obviously going to be hurt in that metric. But bottom 6 in rushing yards, 3 straight seasons. I didn't realize, by the way, the Steelers have been 29th or worse in rushing 3 straight years. That is weird. That includes
makes sense.
That includes James Conner's huge year where he was the RB8 or something like that.
But he didn't run the ball very well that year.
Yeah, it's surprising that even that bad of a running team. But again, Ben Roethlisberger doesn't run. And all the things I said about the Falcons, you know, they do have a new coach, so it's going to change things. Jamie, any other rankings risers among the veterans?
Rankings risers among the veterans.
Or just winners?
Trying to think. Sorry.
That's all right. Let me make a case for Damian Harris. I know that the Patriots drafted Ramondre Stevenson. He's big and physical and not that fast, not going to catch passes. He's Sony Michel and Damian Harris, at least in that regard, the passes thing. I looked at Damian Harris's bets.
You're saying they have a type?
Yeah. LeGarrette Blount much? I looked at Damian Harris's best stretch. And this is a guy who averaged 5 yards per carry last year. He was very good when he ran the ball. But his problem was touchdowns. So he had 6 games with 14 or more carries. He had 95 or more total yards in 4 of them. But he had 1 rushing touchdown. Cam Newton had 6 in those 6 games. James White actually had 2, which was weird. You get Mac Jones in there instead of Cam Newton, who rushed for 12 touchdowns last year. Not going to do that again. Maybe Damian Harris is just their best running back and actually someone we could use. I know we're not going to be super excited about anyone who's not involved in the passing game and who's a Patriots running back, but get Cam Newton off the field. It's gonna really help those running backs in the touchdown department.
I think you're right, but you know the fact that they added Stevenson could just mean more headaches. And you've brought this up time and time again, and you're right. You know, it's kind of a misnomer what the Patriots running back situation has been, because when they have a guy, they use that guy. They may not use the guy to the level of the heights of some other teams, but they still lean on a guy. And so I don't know if that's going to happen this season, and who knows if it will happen ever again. But I still think that Harris is the best of the trio of guys there. Stevenson feels as if this could be more of a 2022 situation when Sony Michel is gone. But Harris is somebody that I was excited about. I mean, you have to downgrade him a little bit because I'm sure Stevenson will play. And like you said, Adam, it's still Cam to start the season. And if Cam is better, then he's going to play the whole season if they're competitive. So Harris is a guy that you can take as a third running back. You probably would prefer him as a fourth running back, certainly in PPR. But he's my favorite of the backfield guys so far.
Okay, yeah, we never talk about the Patriots running backs, really, so I wanted to throw that in there. Chris, got any rankings risers or fallers that you want to talk about?
Yeah, I think rankings, risers, and fallers, that's a different question than what I was preparing for. Melvin Gordon's definitely a faller. You know, he was actually someone who was around 20th for me before this, and now I think he's probably closer to 30. I do wonder if, and it'd be hard to move Kyler Murray up much, but I really like the Rondale Moore addition for that. I think he could be such a perfect fit for Kliff Kingsbury's offense. And, you know, it's the kind of thing where even if Kyler Murray doesn't get better as a passer, Rondale Moore will make him seem like he got better because he's so good after the catch. I think Dave mentioned on the broadcast, it was 71% of his yards came after the catch while he was at Purdue. So, I think Kyler Murray might be my number two quarterback now.
Jamie, do you think that Miles Sanders will be affected at all by Kenneth Gainwell, who they selected in round five, who is a pass catching running back? That's what he does. That's what he did very well, and he's one of the better ones in this class. Do you think that because Boston Scott really didn't do that much when Miles and Boston Scott had, I think, 16 catches in 12 games that Miles Sanders played. Does Miles Sanders get clipped at all by Kenneth Gainwell?
A little bit, you know, and I think you got to factor in just the fact that he struggled with some drops last year. You know, hopefully the offensive line is back to full strength. It seems like it's going to be better than it was a year ago. But, yeah, I mean, Sanders, you know, was somebody that when he was really good as a rookie, it was because he was catching the ball as well as he did. And, you know, that step back last year, I think, was part of the reason why his fantasy production didn't improve. So, you know, adding a pass catching guy to an offense, I know it's a different coaching staff, but you know what they've been traditionally, they like to use a pass catching running back. And so I think you got to downgrade him a little bit in both formats just because of the opportunity to come off the field now a little bit more.
Any other rankings adjustments? We can finish the show.
Matt Ryan was a big riser for me, you know, just with the addition of Pitts. We all saw it coming, but, you know, like I said on Thursday night, I was waiting for it to be official. So he's now a top 12 quarterback for me, where he was, you know, closer to 16, 17 prior to this.
So how do you balance that, your excitement for Pitts your excitement for Pitts and moving Ryan up with the fact that, like you already said, we don't know what rookie tight ends can do. Well, we know they very rarely do well, and we don't know that Kyle Pitts can do better than a typical rookie tight end, which is not much of an impact.
I look at it in kind of two ways. One, Matt Ryan was so much better with Julio Jones healthy last season. You know, I think he was probably a top 7 or 8 quarterback in the games that Julio Jones played, or at least I think he played 10 games and 8 of them he played like an actual role. And then he was, you know, deeply mediocre when Jones was out. So obviously we can't guarantee that Jones will stay healthy this season, but he's currently healthy. We have to assume at this point, we would assume he will be healthy at the start of the season. And so given that, the addition of a super talented player like Kyle Pitts, a guy who, you know, probably will just play like a wide receiver. I think that's got to be good for him. Even if Kyle Pitts isn't more than a, you know, 700 yards guy, which I think he should be.
Matt Ryan, 7 games with a healthy Julio Jones. Jones left 2 games, played fewer than 35% of the snaps. Listen to this. 7 games with a healthy Julio Jones, 9 games without Jones or with Jones leaving with an injury. In those 7 games, he averaged 25.6 points per game in 6-point per passing touchdown leagues. In the other 9 games, he averaged 16.1. He averaged 9.5 more fantasy points per game when Julio was healthy. I will, however, say that the competition had to have played a role in this. Played Seattle early in the year. They were giving up unbelievable amounts of points. Quarterbacks played Dallas. So that was part of it. But yes, Chris, 100% right. He was on pace for 5,200 yards and 34 touchdowns with a healthy Julio Jones last year.
Yeah, in 6-point per passing touchdown league, I think he would have been a top 10 guy per game at 25.6.
That's it.
Would have been 11.
That's it? On pace for 200 yards?
Last year was... We're going to have to like recalibrate our expectations for quarterbacks because I don't think passing games are going to be quite as good in 2021 as they were in 2020. Just because it seemed like defenses were at a real disadvantage early in the season. And things seemed to normalize after that. But yeah, last year...
But it seems like every team got 6 new wide receivers in the draft.
Yeah, there were 12 quarterbacks who averaged at least 25 points per game. That would have been among the league leaders, you know, pretty much every year.
This wild. And I think there were as many teams that added wide receivers as added offensive linemen, right? Especially in round 2 off the board. Fast and furious. So let's do some buy or sell to finish the show. By the way, how about the Cowboys draft? This is a grand experiment to see if you can just draft an entire defense, basically. Okay, buy or sell from Matt. Matt Ryan, top 10.
Bye.
Just barely sell, but actually, I currently have Jameis Winston 10th if he's the starter for the Saints, but given the fact that they didn't really add anybody in the passing game, maybe they're leaning Taysom Hill. So, yeah, he could be 10.
From Dynasty Football Only, Zach Moss, top 20 running back.
He's a winner. Devin Singletary is a winner. You know, that was a team that everybody thought could take a running back. They were even in the conversation to take ETN in the first round, assuming that Harris was going to go first. And so the fact that they didn't address the position, and, you know, before Zach Moss got hurt, he was trending in the direction of being the featured guy there, to whatever that meant for Buffalo. But top 20 is a little too high. I'm going to sell, but I do think that they will get close to a top 25 running back.
Yeah, I wouldn't pick either of them to be a top 40 back, but I could see one of them, if things break right, getting to top 25-ish.
From TJ, buy or sell Mike Davis as an RB1?
Sell, but
sell.
As we said, RB2. Yeah.
By the way, Chris, you said you might have Kyler Murray as your QB2 at this point. Jamie, who's your QB2?
Still Josh Allen.
Yeah, what's a bigger win? The Bills not drafting a running back, or the Cardinals drafting a talented wide receiver in round two? And obviously, what do I mean by this? Well, all the rushing touchdowns that Josh Allen gets.
I think the rushing touchdowns Josh Allen gets are a product of Josh Allen. I don't think if they had drafted a good running back, that really would have changed.
Well, 2 years ago, Frank Gore was just miserable near the goal line. And last year, maybe they just didn't really try. But they haven't had a good goal line back, that's for sure.
Well, Josh Allen's been the goal line back. I think it's that's what I would say. He's so good in that role.
Yeah.
That I think it would be kind of silly to not use him that way.
Okay. So you think that the Moore draft pick in Arizona is more?
I don't think there's going to be a consensus number two quarterback taken. You're going to have Murray. Yeah. You're going to have Allen. You're going to have Lamar Jackson. There'll be some people that take Aaron Rodgers, depending on mm-hmm. he's still there, just because of the way he finished. Dak Prescott, you can make a case for a lot of different guys up there.
So this is what I'm talking about. So Josh Allen had 9 carries inside the 5. Zach Moss had 8. In 2019, Josh Allen had 5 carries inside the 5. Frank Gore had 11. They've actually used other players inside the 5-yard line, but they've just sucked. So that's why I think it was nice for Josh Allen that they did not add a running back who could do that.
I remember last year talking about this, that there was a couple plays in 2019 where Frank Gore had like 2 opportunities in a row to punch one in. And I think it was a third down play and Josh Allen ended up scoring a rushing touchdown. It was just because Frank Gore couldn't get in. And, to Chris's point, like, why would you get away from that? Well, I mean, you saw what happened to Patrick Mahomes 2 years ago when he was trying to get into the end zone. And I don't know if Buffalo will want to continue to risk that, but Josh Allen's a little bit different physically. So we'll see. He's got that Cam Newton aspect of his game still there.
I think I was at a Yankees playoff game, Jamie, when that happened. I don't think I saw that Mahomes play, but I remember the audible gasps as it circulated through the crowd. Oh, Mahomes got hurt. Everybody thought he was going to be out for the year. Breathe a sigh of relief. And the Yankees lost to the Astros that night. Buy or sell Pitt's top 6. Boy, these people are hitting on every topic we've already talked about, from Brett. This is interesting. Chase top 24, and he also asked Pitt's top 6. Do you buy either of those? Chase top 24, Pitt's top 6.
Yep, buy.
Right in that range.
Chase top 24, huh?
I have him 27.
Who are you going to take, Jamar Chase or DJ Moore?
DJ Moore.
Moore, but it's close. I would take Chase over Galladay right now.
Yeah. All right, that's it for today's show. NFL draft. Fun. Yeah, cool. Thanks for listening, everybody. A lot of dynasty coming up. We got rookie drafts. We got seasonal drafts as well. The redrafts, whatever the hell. Redraft league drafts, mocks coming up. We'll talk about them throughout the week. I'm going to sleep. For Chris Towers and Jamie Eisenberg, I'm a very tired Adam Azer. Thanks for hanging out with us all weekend long. We will talk to you on Monday with another edition of Fantasy Football Today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.